Jünger geworden ist.
It seems that technology is marvellous, after all. Welcome to this, the first podcast of King of the Buttons. Over the next 40 minutes or so, we'll have some original comedy, some wild and wacky sketches, and also some fresh music from cyberspace. Let's kick off with one of those tunes now. This is from a band called Automotive from El Paso, Texas, and this is a song called Please Resolve This.
Which one of us is being me?
You're doing me.
Okay.
Oh, no, I'm doing you. No.
I'll be me.
We'll be ourselves.
I'll be me. You can be the other one.
Okay. Right, ready?
Yeah.
Right, so,
You've only said, right. I don't think it was that amusing, particularly.
Are you aware that the, Kenyan ambassador... No. Have you seen all this stuff on the news about the Kenyan elections?
Yeah, I'm vaguely aware of it.
Vaguely aware. There seems to be a bit of a mess going on out there.
What's the issue?
Well, I think primarily the issue is that the guy that didn't win the election swore himself in as president 2 hours after declaring he had won it.
Right. Is that strictly how it's supposed to go?
Not entirely sure that it is.
Was he already the president or something then?
I think he was. I think he's been there a long, long time.
Oh, okay.
Probably too long.
And he lost and decided to ignore the results.
It's pretty much that, yeah. And the other thing I picked up on, which I thought was quite funny, was that...
Funny?
Well, I say funny. I mean, hilarious. There was some... there were some peace talks going on, supposedly. And one of the sort of bargaining chips that they took up to the table... were sort of cabinet positions, and
near the window.
Before this guy could get to the table and agree them,
someone had moved the cabinet.
He announced that he'd like employed all his friends as like the foreign secretary and all this kind of stuff.
Why wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know.
Do you think if we went to Kenya, that we could install ourselves as the president?
We could have a go, I reckon.
I reckon we could.
I think you and I
could get our own cabinet, everything.
I think you and I would be quite good as fair. Democratic election monitors.
You can't even count up to 10.
No, yeah, well, that's all right then, isn't it?
That would be helpful in Kenya. You could be the Grand Vizier and wear, like, one of those fezes.
Is that like a kind of Freemasons thing?
It's like a Prime Minister in The Thousand and One Nights.
Is it?
Yeah, you know, Alibaba and all that.
I think I might have got a bit lost all in the way. But I'm sure the Kenyan problem will sort itself out, won't it?
No, I don't think so. Doesn't it need the Americans to poke their noses in or something?
Quite possibly.
Or the UN or something.
I think it's the AU.
Who are they?
They're the African Union.
Oh dear.
Sounds great.
I don't know who they are, but already I've got no confidence in them.
I don't. Well, it's strange you should say that, because I've just elected you Secretary General.
Oh dear.
Indeed.
I think we need a new resolution on that. Do you reckon that the UN should have a standing army?
A standing army?
Yeah, all sitting down.
Do you know? I don't know.
What do you think?
Where would they come from?
Well, just, like, recruited from its membership, apart from the bad nations.
Apart from the bad nations?
Yeah.
Like, who would they be?
Three bad nations, everybody knows. France.
Yeah. Because of the cheese.
North Korea.
Absolutely.
And Australia.
Australia?
Yeah.
Well, why Australia?
Everyone hates them, don't they?
Do they? Yeah. Well, no, I don't think everybody hates them.
Did you know in Australia they have Christmas Day in the middle of June?
I heard that they have Christmas Day in New Zealand.
What? Really?
That Australians have Christmas Day in New Zealand.
Do they?
Because it's warmer or something.
Or colder.
Quite possibly.
Maybe both.
I've never really got round the fact that New Zealand's like two islands.
It's more than that.
But
there's two big ones, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. There's another island off the south. It's called Stewart Island or something. Cook Island, I don't know.
Fair enough. Now then, if I said to you social media, what would you say in retaliation to me?
You can get cream for that.
Yeah, I imagine you could. But I'm struggling with this concept of it. I don't know what it is. Do you know what it is?
I know what the two words mean, but not in conjunction with each other.
I think it's like Facebook and stuff.
Social is like when you've got like a do to go to at work or something.
Yeah.
And media is like news on the telly. So is it when you go to a news party inside the telly?
It could be that, yeah.
Well, what do you think it is?
I think it's like, you know when you've got loads of crap at home that you don't want? Like, for example...
Girlfriends.
Or some shoes that, like, your auntie bought you in 1981 or something that don't quite fit.
I must admit, I haven't got anything like that in my house.
Well, anyway, I think what it is, it's a way of getting in contact with people that have got similar crap kicking around their house, and they want to trade it with you.
Right. So you sell it to them?
I don't know, I'm not sure how it works.
Down the telephone wire.
Or, the alternative is that it's like, sort of, when you haven't got any friends in real life, you can go online, virtually.
And find some.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard of this phenomenon.
Phenomenomena.
Facebook.
Yeah.
Have you got a Facebook profile?
I haven't.
Why not?
Well, you know.
Because you don't like people.
It's mainly because I struggle to use a keyboard, you know, because...
Well, never mind playing the keyboard,
because
you want to get on the computer.
I have to have things specially adapted for my usage.
See, I've got a Facebook profile.
Have you?
Yeah. And I've used the only known picture of me where I look human as my profile picture.
Was that just before the mothership imparted you onto Earth?
Just before I was baked in clay. No, I think ultimately if I ever met anybody that I've sort of contacted through Facebook, they're going to be disappointed because I don't look that much like the picture.
Have you put a picture of Bruce Willis on there again?
Fabian.
Fabian?
Yeah.
Who's he?
I don't know.
Oh,
alright. I think he's a wrestler.
A wrestler? Well, like Shirley Crabtree.
Yeah.
Big Daddy.
Giant,
you know why they called him Big Daddy, don't you?
Is it because he's big?
Yeah, and he's a daddy, apparently.
There you go.
Yeah, there we are.
I kind of follow it.
Now, you've got something to tell me.
You know Steptoe?
Yeah.
The sitcom.
I'm aware of
and
it.
And radio show prior to it being on the telly.
Yeah.
You know, Harold was much bigger than is it Albert? What was the old one? I think it was Albert.
That's a good question. Yeah, I think it is.
Have you ever seen this programme? You know what I'm talking about? Or heard it?
Is it the one set in a laundrette in Peckham in the early 90s about a black family?
No.
Has Desmond's.
I don't think Desmond's in a laundrette. Wasn't it a barbershop called Desmond's?
That's it.
No, it was like that, only completely different. Harold, who was the son, was much, much bigger than his father, his name I can't remember, but I think he's Albert. Why didn't he just like smash him in the face and throw him out of the house?
It's a good question. I'm not sure that would have been kind of, you know,
in the first minute of the first episode.
It might not have fitted with the kind of light entertainment brief that they had, I think.
Yeah, but it would have been a more accurate representation of what would have happened in real life.
What I do know about Steptoe is not a great deal.
Yeah, I don't think you know anything at all about it.
And I do know that Harry H. Corbett, who played Steptoe...
Which Steptoe?
The young big one that I've forgotten the name of.
Darth.
Harold, that's him. He was completely traumatised and broken by the fact that he kind of got typecast as adult.
Was he a proper Hector?
I believe he was a Hector, yes.
Oh dear. But he probably had a lot of money doing it.
Well, I imagine he did.
Mm. I imagine
it went on for years as well, didn't it?
About 20,
I think they made an American copy of it, didn't they? They made an American version of it called Stanford and Son or something.
Oh, blimey. But did they Americanise it by making them both filthy rich and very successful on really well together with perfect teeth?
And they changed it slightly, but not dramatically, in that it was Steptoe and Daughter.
Ah, okay.
No, I think it was set in a hardware store or something unimaginative like that.
Mm.
But I'm not entirely sure.
They probably don't have Rag and Bone Men in America.
I'm not sure we have them around here anymore, do we?
I don't think so.
I think we just have Poundland and Pound Stretcher instead, or something.
That's where all the rubbish goes.
Yeah, quite possibly.
Thanks for coming along. If you'd like to take a seat, and we'll start the interview now. First of all, obvious question, but why is it that you would like to be a Brian Sewell-alike?
Yes,
it's a bit sort of Frankie Howard-ish, isn't it?
I'm interested in art.
You're interested in art? Do you know a lot about art? Okay. And what do you think of modern artists like Banksy?
Banksy, Hitler.
And when you go away, so will the lump in my throat. You have become to me a symbol for all that is wrong. And you're so beautiful that I feel that I can never match up. And this is my cowardly way of letting you know, telling you when it's too late. I search in my mind, but I can't seem to find the words to let you know what you mean to me. I tried and I failed, I tried and I failed again. I guess that we were destined to be just friends. It's not your fault that I feel this way, but I wish that I could make you see what all of your broken promises, what they have done to me. And all of the times I looked in your eyes and drowned in a sea of your smile. And through all of this change, it feels so strange learning to live without you. I search in my mind, but I can't seem to find the words to let you know what you mean to me. I tried and I failed, I tried and I failed again. I guess that we were destined to be just friends. I guess that we are just friends.
A young man from Bournemouth called Adam Boucher, and that was a track called Growing Up and Getting Out.
So, you know Gordon Brown, our unelected president, whatever he is?
Yeah, I've heard of him, yeah. Is he Queen Victoria's handyman?
He's the headmaster of England or something.
Yeah.
What do you reckon about these visits he goes on to sort of shitty countries?
But isn't he in China and somewhere else at the moment?
Yeah, he's in China.
I don't know if they kind of fall into your category, do they?
I think they do, yeah.
Do they?
Yeah.
What makes them that?
What makes China shitty?
Yeah.
Well, it's a long way away to start with, so that's one thing. And
Can't get there on the bus.
And the other thing is, isn't the government there quite sort of repressive and naughty? And a bit sort of controlling?
They don't overly promote democracy, if that's what you mean.
Mm. Isn't there any one legal political party?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and they don't have a secret ballot.
You're only allowed to vote, I think, if you vote for them.
Yeah, which isn't... I think that's kind of naughty.
It is a bit cheeky, isn't it? But there's something staggering, like, one in every 12 people on the earth is Chinese, is that right?
I think it's more than that. Isn't it more than every 3 or one in every 4?
Is it?
So there's... Between me, you and your girlfriend in the lounge, one of us is Chinese. And it's not me.
It's a bit worrying, that, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's probably you.
I might have to go and check myself in a minute.
So, what do you reckon makes a good sitcom? What are the ingredients of a good sitcom?
Well, I suppose, ultimately, it'd have to be funny, I think. It's probably...
How insightful.
Yes.
Assuming that it's... Well, I've already said it's good, so it's going to be funny anyway. What are the things you would need?
I suppose the situation's quite important, isn't it?
And the comedy.
That's what makes a good sitcom.
I wish I hadn't asked you.
Hence the name. I suppose the actors are quite important as well.
The delivery.
You have to get that right, don't you?
Usually there's kind of a source of friction, isn't there? That's what...
There's a tension, isn't there? Because... Say, for example, in Dad's Army, Mannering and Wilson hate each other.
Well, Wilson's too nice to hate him, but yeah.
Well, there's a real hatred kind of bubbling under, isn't there?
Mannering wants to be pompous and yet feels inferior. So he kind of is a bit bristly.
And it's a class thing, though, as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's the tension, class divide.
Yeah, you're right, but people are thrown into unlikely situations and...
And there's always some kind of misunderstanding, isn't there, about what somebody said, where they were supposed to meet.
Like in Beggar Thy Neighbour.
No, I don't think that was a misunderstanding.
Oh, was it not?
I think that was a misjudgment.
Oh, okay. I'll make a note of that when my trial comes up.
I think that's a good point. I don't think you should play excerpts from the show in your defence, though.
No, you're right.
No.
I certainly shouldn't wear them on T-shirts. Anyway, carry on.
You know houseplants?
Yeah.
Mine always die.
Do you water them?
Yeah, but how much do you water them and when?
You probably water them once a week or check that they need watering.
How do you know they need watering?
papers and they don't look well, or the kind of earth's dry.
Yeah, but it's always a bit dry, isn't it?
Do you expect them to tell you?
Well, I don't really know.
Well, you can get them little things you can stick in the pot as well that changes colour.
They are the plants, aren't they?
No, I don't think they are. They're like a little indicator thing.
Blimey, it sounds a bit complicated.
Yeah.
What I tend to do is buy some and then haphazardly water or not water them until they die. Then I buy some more.
Right, so you buy them, let them dry out and die, water them, let them live a little bit more, let them dry out and die, and then go and buy new ones.
Yes, or I'd overwater them and they die immediately, which is, you know, which saves time.
Have you thought about getting a cactus?
I've got some cactuses.
Yeah,
they're a bit boring.
Why are they boring?
I've got some cactuses.
Yeah.
Well, they don't do anything.
What do you expect them to do?
I don't know.
Have you ever eaten one?
No, you can't eat cactus, can you?
You cut it in half, drink it or something, can't you?
No, I think
you got lost in the desert?
The big desert ones.
Is it?
Yeah.
Not in the house, not suggested in the house.
Well, you'd need quite a few because they're quite small, the ones I've got.
That's true, but it depends how thirsty
you
are.
You need about 10 each.
You have to be careful as well, they're quite prickly.
I wouldn't eat one.
No. Well, you would if you were hungry.
I'd never be that hungry.
What wouldn't you eat if you were hungry?
Well, how hungry?
Well,
and what's on
if
offer?
You hadn't, say if you hadn't eaten for 4 days.
Yeah.
Right, say if I'd locked you in that dungeon.
Mm.
I mean, my back bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And you weren't feeling that well.
Right.
And I let you out and I said, right.
There's one thing to eat.
There's a choice of two things. You know, I'll be generous.
All right.
It's been 4 days.
Yeah.
I said, there's two things here. You can eat one of them.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
If I said to you, the first thing was a piece of Limeswell cheese that they don't make anymore, so therefore it'd have to be 20, 25 years
right.
old, so it'd be quite hard.
Quite furry.
Yeah. Or
eggshells.
Or some eggshells, or what I was thinking more along the line of, a badger's nose.
Oh, I'd probably eat the badger's nose.
Yeah?
Because there'd be protein in that, probably vitamin A.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be instantly fatal, unlike the cheese.
It might be. Depends what I've injected it with.
You didn't say, you've injected it with a sauce.
Well, I call it a sauce.
That's snot, because there might be some of that in there anyway.
Formaldehyde?
I wouldn't eat snot.
So to clarify, you wouldn't eat, if you were hungry, if you hadn't eaten for 4 days,
yeah.
You would eat a badger's nose injected with formaldehyde.
If it's
just to clarify.
If it's that or limes or cheese or eggshells, yeah.
Yeah.
What would you do?
Would you consider eating all three?
No.
As a kind of antipasta
in a sandwich.
As in a sandwich.
All right, my turn. If I'd got these three food items, which yes. one would you eat first? First of all, is some gristle off a goose.
Well, depend what part of the goose it come off, yeah, but...
Off its foot.
Yeah, okay.
Some, scraped off its foot.
Yeah, okay.
Some gristle.
Yeah.
Second one, it's going to be some hot grit that's, like, out of the grit box.
Right, yeah, so when it's cold and icy, that's the sort of stuff they put on the road.
Yeah, right? Salty grit. Yeah,
right, yeah, so salty grit.
Some lovely hot grit. Or thirdly, what about, so there's the goose gristle,
yeah.
The grit,
yeah.
Or the third is going to be, I think eggshells again.
Eggshells?
Yeah. Do you think you could eat an eggshell? Whole eggshell?
Yeah, I reckon I could.
Would it cut your mouth to ribbons, wouldn't it?
No.
Imagine pooing that out.
It's quite brittle.
Yeah, but you'd have to crunch it up really small for it not to be horrible.
It'd be like eating a sugar snap or something, although it wouldn't be very sugary.
Like Rivita.
Yeah. I think out of the three, I reckon I'd go for the goose gristle, because I think it'd be most nutritious.
It could be nutritious, because there could be some pondweed and stuff mixed in it. You'd get vitamins off that.
Yeah, or if it came to it, and none of those three things were available, I'd eat some of that finely sliced turkey ham that you buy, you know, that's a bit like pig's foreskin.
No, I'd eat the goose gristle. What about a big bowl of snot that we've got off a Russian? Following the recent health report that warns using steroids can lead to severe brain damage, tonight I'm with Andy, a gym instructor and amateur weightlifter from North London. Andy, thanks for joining us. As a regular steroid user, are you worried by these reports?
Well, yes. To be honest, I am a bit worried. A lot of people in the weightlifting community do use steroids, and whilst we've always known there could be side effects, the prospect of brain damage is obviously a big concern, particularly with daytime temperatures across the southern region expected to reach 20 or even 22 degrees Celsius by midday tomorrow.
Okay. Have you noticed any side effects of steroid use yourself so far at all?
Well, not really, although I have found myself getting a bit short-tempered sometimes, and my girlfriend says that my mind wanders a bit, but she is forgetting that all this warm, humid air coming up from continental Europe will probably blow over in the next 24 hours, and we can expect the daytime temperature to fall by about 5 degrees over the next couple of days.
Sorry, Andy, you've slightly lost me there. Can I ask what sort of steroids you take and how often you take them?
I take Fibro Plus Maxtastix, which are little green pills, a bit like Smarties. They're very nice, actually, just like cough sweets. Why don't you try a few?
Thanks very much. They do taste quite nice, don't they? Now, in terms of your motivation to take steroids, why do you find that they enhance your performance?
They do definitely work, and what I've found recently is that a moderate drop in wind speed has produced a higher than expected nighttime temperature, although still well below the monthly average for this time of year.
Feeling rather strange, actually. So, will you now be cutting back on steroids in the future?
Hard to predict. With cloud base, we'll have see what happens with satellite picture over the Atlantic.
And that's it from me. Back to studio. This extraordinary rendition business.
Yeah, what is that?
Is it something to do with artexing?
I'm not sure it's to do with masonry. It's to do with kind of internment, isn't it?
Well, it's just rendition. Rendering is kind of like plaster that they put on the walls and the ceiling, isn't it?
Well, it could be that, or it could be like sort of doing a musical number or something, couldn't it? Do you know what I mean? Like a rendition of the shows.
Like a rendition
hits from the shows.
Rendition of the desert song, that sort of thing.
I think it means locking people up without any rights for a long time, doesn't it?
Is that what it's about?
Yeah.
And they force them, they torture them by making them wear those orange cat suits.
It's something like, they force feed them custard or something, don't they?
Bloody hell.
Until they talk.
So it's quite serious then.
Yeah.
What's extraordinary about it? I think it happened to quite a lot, didn't it?
I think it did, yeah. It's a bone of contention, isn't it?
Is it for people who don't like America very much?
I think that there's an element of that, yeah.
Because there's probably quite a lot of people in that group, isn't there?
I think it's a growing dynamic, isn't it?
I don't know what that means.
No, I don't know.
You know musical instruments, right?
Yeah.
There's quite a lot of quite good ones that just you don't see anymore.
Yeah, go on.
Like paper and comb.
When I was
a nipper, on Boxing Day, my dad would play the paper and comb, and my auntie, who's his sister, would sing a song.
What would they do? What sort of stuff?
Years of therapy has blocked out from my mind what the song was.
Was it sort of wartime tunes or something?
I think you can imagine it was pretty fucking terrible, whatever.
Yeah,
it was.
I imagine it
so
was.
So that's a good thing, but there are other instruments that you just don't see anymore.
Well, do you know, when I was at primary school, right, you know how kids were given a musical instrument to learn and to play, you know, to get used to and all
were
this
you
kind
given
of stuff?
The triangle?
Well, no, everyone around me got proper stuff, like the guitar.
The violin.
Or the violin or the drums or anything like that. What did I get? A gyro. Right? Do you know what a gyro is?
No.
It's basically...
Did the teacher invent it just for you? Was it two coat hangers?
It's a bit of wood with, like, kind of, sort of grooves in it.
Mm.
And a stick that you run up and down it.
Yeah.
And it makes a noise like a dog going through an escalator.
I think it makes a noise like somebody rubbing a stick on another stick.
Yeah, it does. Now, and what struck me about it at the time was, how difficult is that to master?
Not very.
Not very. Took me 5-10 minutes to get the hang of it.
Right. It's quite a long time, then.
It's a percussion instrument.
Mm.
Anyone can play percussion, can't they?
More or less. What did you do with your gyro?
I can't ever remember a performance involving my gyro.
Didn't you have a solo in the middle of some orchestral piece?
It was a little bit limited for that, I think. But I do remember, I think we did a Christmas show or something once where I think I was Jesus's official gyro player or something. I can't remember exactly.
Were you the 13th disciple?
I think I was the fourth man.
Right.
You know, of the wise variety.
Fourth man near the back.
Yeah, that's it.
That sounds pretty good. Well, the ones... You don't see the accordion much anymore. You know,
It's like a sort of piano on your shoulder.
Yeah, it's like a cross between bellows and a piano, I think. Yeah. I did see a fat child playing one of the Underground. I did see.
Are you sure it's a child?
I did see a fat child playing one on the Underground not that long ago.
Was he any good?
He wasn't bad actually, but I think he was Romanian.
Really? Mm. What gave you that impression?
His T-shirt, which said "I'm Romanian."
And that would have given it away. Mm. I did see on the Fabulous Underground system the other day, and I was coming down the escalator, and there was a guy.
Did you see a fat child?
I didn't. Well, no, not specifically. I didn't think.
Probably did.
But there was a guy there busking, and he was playing an electric guitar, but he was playing it in kind of kind of surf style, kind of Hank Marvin, kind of Dick Dale style. Yeah,
vaguely.
Do you know what I mean?
Chet Atkins.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah. Anyway, he was playing along. He was quite good. Mm. Next to him was a really old bloke. He must have been in his mid to late 70s.
Right.
He looked a little bit like Stanley Unwin, I think his name was. Do you remember the
one who spoke gobbledygook?
Yeah, Goodly Bilo, all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
He was there, and he was wearing a jacket far too short for him, and dancing like Bez from the Happy Mondays. And I don't think he was like part of the act or anything.
That is art, thank
is,
you.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'm not sure it is.
We
care in the community, I think they used to call it, didn't they?
Was the dancing man part of the act properly, or had he just like drifted up and started dancing?
I think he just drifted in.
Maybe he'd been seduced by the music.
But it was almost tribal what he was doing. He was kind of, it's hard to show, you know, kind of over the airwaves, as it were. But he was kind of dancing on one spot, but running at the same time. It was a very peculiar thing. But he was really enjoying himself, so, you know.
Quite disturbed to me.
Well, it was quite disturbing, all of those things. Mm. Now, here's a question for you.
Go on.
Right, if
please.
You were a car,
yeah.
a motor vehicle,
mm.
what car would you be?
I'd be a brick red Lada Riva Estate.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. My organ teacher used to have one of those.
Really?
Yeah.
Your organ teacher?
Yeah, I used to learn to play the organ when I was a boy.
Oh, yeah.
Too small to run away.
Not the Giro, then?
No, I was too good for the Giro. Yeah, he used to have a brick red Lada Riva Estate 1.1, and we used to live halfway down quite a steep hill, and he used to park his car at the top of the hill, because if it wouldn't start, he could bump it down the hill. And every week, as a precaution, he used to park at the very, very top.
Well, I think...
What would you be?
Personally, I think I'd be a 1971-72 ivory white Vauxhall Viva. Because,
nice.
I mean, you're aware of this vehicle, aren't you?
My dad had two in a row, and they were both shit.
It's hard to describe it. They're like this kind of an upright piano, really.
That's probably a reasonably good explanation. Do you remember also the speedo used to go horizontally across the dashboard, like a radio dial?
Yeah. So, like, almost like being at sea, wasn't it?
My dad had a matte green one.
Nice.
Which we went on holiday in Tishlandudno. Yeah, which is in Wales or something.
It's in Scotland, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that. And the vehicle broke down halfway there, obviously.
Yeah.
And I've got a faint recollection of my mum and me and my brother cowering inside the car whilst my dad kicked the fender repeatedly with his big boot.
Nice.
Yeah.
He
sold that and bought another one.
I've probably told you this before, but...
He never was a bright man.
When I grew up, my dad had the same car for about 14, 15 years, which he was very proud of. And it was a 1976 cane orange, which was a kind of really bright orange, Mercedes 230E.
Oh my god!
And the worst thing about it was that it was quite, you know, in its day, it was quite a stylish vehicle. But the worst thing about it was that inside,
it was 20 years after its day.
The interior had kind of like a sort of fabric on the ceiling, as it were,
like carpet
that was dotted.
Oh, with pinholes.
Yeah, so you can lean back and look at it. And it was almost like you were sort of hallucinating or something.
Send you back. My dad had a Rover. Do you remember the Rover in The Gaffer?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
My dad had one of those. And that had a pinhole decorated roof. What was the fucking point in that?
I think it was to make you delirious. So you didn't have to worry about driving.
I think it distracted you from the purchase you just made. I think that was the purpose of it.
I think they used to use those as police cars as well, didn't they, quite a bit?
It could be.
The kind of American-looking thing.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah,
very
yeah.
It looked like a bit like a battleship, but on wheels. What's the worst modern car around you?
The worst one? Well, they've all got ridiculous names. Like the...
The Koshkwai.
Yeah, the Nissan Shitbang, or something something like that. They've all got stupid names. I would say without a doubt, I mean, they're not called Dayus anymore, but I would say it's the Chevrolet Krapos, which essentially is... a Vauxhall Astra glued together with bits of an Austin Ambassador.
Is that technically what it is?
I would say that's probably where it's at.
It's a joint platform and powertrain.
Yeah. Or some of these really small cars that you get, particularly in London. The G-Wiz, I think it's called.
Yeah, that's the electric vehicle.
It's like a wheelie bin, isn't it? But with slightly more windows.
It's sort of, yeah, I think so. And have you heard about this new Tata? It's an Indian car called the Tata.
Yeah.
100,000 rupees, which is about £8.50.
Yeah.
No, it's about 1,200 quid.
Yeah.
Which they reckon they're going to try and sell here and in India.
Yeah, I haven't actually seen one. I have heard about it.
I've seen them. They're like a bit like a sort of a radio-controlled car, only slightly bigger. They're nice.
And what's it called? The Tatar?
The Tatar, yeah.
Like sort of the sauce you have with fish.
Tatar to your legs if you have a crash.
Yeah.
No, that's Tata. But my brother's
that's
got...
That's very good. I'm going to use that.
My brother's got a pretty shitty car. He's got a... I know it's a bit cliche. He's got Skoda... Felicia.
How dare you?
Which I refer to as the Skoda crap house.
Yes.
And it is like a car that's been designed sort of 20 years after that particular design school was fashionable. It looks like a car from the early 80s.
Mm.
It looks like a Fiat Strada. And if you get inside, it's got a load of switches all the way up the dashboard, like light switches to switch all the things on and off.
Very stylish.
All of the luxuries, like lights.
Yeah. A radio, FM and AM selection.
No, just AM.
Really? Oh, just AM.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a real piece of junk.
Yeah. It's not one of the estate versions, is it?
It is the estate version.
Really?
I think they all are.
Have you ever seen, I think they make a pickup truck as well, Skoda, and they're always bright yellow. And it's called something like the Handy or something. It's sort of something very odd.
I bet they sell millions.
Yeah, they do, I think, particularly to antique car collectors.
While we're talking about technology, one thing that gets on my wick is cameras.
Mm.
You know, modern these digital cameras.
Yeah.
They're so complicated to bloody operate. And
do you think?
I think they are. And also, whenever you press the button down to take the picture, there's always ages until it actually takes the picture. It's like 2 seconds later on, by which time you've sort of moved off and everything's gone blurry.
Yeah, and they also have, like, I know what you mean, they've got multiple settings, like sepia, paella, Francis Ford Coppola, all these kind of things.
And they've got all these stupid initials for all the functions, like, you know, anti-lock braking or whatever.
Yeah, advanced shutter speeds.
Yeah.
All this kind of stuff. I don't understand it either.
And they make everybody's eyes red as well. I don't understand why they haven't cured that.
At the end of the day...
the people in your family have got red eyes, to be fair.
Yeah, well, we don't like to talk about that. They're a very close-knit community.
Well, they're all interrelated to each other, that's what you mean.
Well,
disgusting.
Yeah. Well, you know, we like to sort of take a traditional view of marriage that, you know, you should always know very well the person you're marrying.
There should be a sibling.
Yeah, that genetically they should be quite... close to each other.
Which does explain why you've only got one eye in the middle of your head.
Yeah, well, you know, you can't have it all, can you?
No, like, you can't have depth perception.
No.
Good evening and welcome to Business Pulse, keeping you in touch with everything business type from across the world, all nations and everyone. Tonight we'll be discussing some intellectual themes including cost effectivization, that's sacking people who do most of the work to enable those that don't to be kept busy finding their replacements.
And we'll also be talking about corporate onanism, a last-minute demerger experienced by the weaker company in a partnership, often due to an unexpected event. For example, the arrival of a bus.
I'll be chatting with the late Thora Heard about locability, the deferment of all blame to local people for the failure of council projects.
Yes, the lazy bastards. And finally, we'll discuss fiscal dysentery and acute awareness of low resources, to misalign the scale of a project with the size of its budget, to react quickly to the presence of an auditor.
We'll also be having a live studio debate and running around in our underpants for good measure. So, join us on Business Update, and first, some music.
Business music.
Join me on Northern Radio today for a debate on a phenomena that is sweeping the region, if not the country.
Is this road sweeping?
Globesity. The term globesity refers to the worldwide epidemic of fatties. With me in the studio is Dr. Leather van Struggen from the Oppenheimer University in Milton Keynes. Dr. van Struggen.
Good afternoon.
Yes. Could you tell us...
Where do I get the sandwiches?
Could you tell us what you mean by Globesity?
Well, it's a term that I've coined, and it's been copyrighted, and you already owe me £14, by the way. It's a term that I've coined to describe people that are so fat that they actually have things orbiting round them, because their mass is so extraordinary that they've acquired their own gravitational field.
Of course, the related, disease, we could call it that, is a syndrome known as API, which is acute pie ingress. I wonder if you could tell me what the symptoms of API are.
Well, API sufferers tend to eat quite a lot of pie-type foods, such as pies, pasties, Cornish pasties. That
sausage
sort of
rolls.
Yeah, anything that's got a sort of pastry outside and then a meat sort of content. Pork pies, another example. Of course, that is a type of pie.
And is this a psychological or a physical problem, or both?
I think it's due to being greedy.
Is it in any way related to Daddy not taking you fishing?
What, me personally?
Yes.
I don't think so. I never like fish.
Furthermore, Globesity has affected our towns and cities to the point that new Globesity officers are to be appointed, I believe, in shopping malls, chemists and branch of KFC.
That's right, because we found that just educating people just isn't working quickly enough because people are far too stupid. What's needed is direct action, so there's a new mandate in this part of the world to equip shopping mall security guards with electric cattle prods, and if they see anybody who's a bit on the tubby side eating food that isn't, you know, a carrot or something like that, then they'd be given 4,000 volts up the jacksie.
And let's just be clear...
It's an interventionist method.
Let's just be clear that this is a serious medical concern. And Globesity isn't just a frou-frou.
That's right. It's not just medical. There's a geophysical aspect to it as well, because this part of the north is in fact sinking slowly into the Irish Sea under the weight of these Globese greedy bastards.
Yes. Well, for the meantime, very interesting. Thank you. I think it's time for you and I now to go to the all-you-can-eat, all-night buffet down the corner.
Piorama.
Piorama on the corner of this building.
Indeed. Got your cattle prod.
For now, thank you very much for joining me.
All of the music that you've heard on this podcast can be found on the Podsafe Network and on btpodshow.com. For more listings and for more information, check out kingofthebuttons.co.uk. That's about it for this month. We'll be back next month with more lunacy, more tales from life, and some very strange music that fell down the back of the internet. So, I'll bid you adieu, and I'll see you again very shortly. Goodbye.
You have been listening to King of the Buttons, written and presented by James Sandy and David Powell, with the creative musings of Mr. Alan Jones.
The stupid, drunken lech!